are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So our series on the practices of the Christian life continues today as we journey through with this book called The Walk by Adam Hamilton. We have free copies available, and you can get them here today, or you can connect with the church office if you like. Last week we focused on prayer and worship. Adam Hamilton kind of groups those two together as the first of these five habits or these five practices. And I made a couple of invitations for you, some challenges for you to put these things into practice last week. I encourage you to make a commitment to worship all 7 weeks of the series. We're in week number three right now, and I know some of you have been here all three Sundays. Some of you have been engaging with us online all three Sundays. If you haven't and you want to catch up, all the worship services are available on our YouTube channel. You can also find the sermons on our webpage. And wherever you get your podcasts, you can get podcasts of our sermons. So lots of opportunities to engage with the worship service. I hope you'll do that. Give that a try. Worship is important. I also encouraged you to think about praying more regularly, praying even 5 times a day. And I suggested that you could do that by praying when you get up in the morning, saying, "Thank you, God, for this day. Use my hands, use my feet, use my life to serve you." And then praying breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, that's prayer number 2, 3, and 4. Thank you for this food. Feed me. Help me. Give me the strength to do what you want me to do today. And then finally, prayer number 5 would be the prayer at the end of the day when you might give thanks for the day and you might remember the people that you interacted with over the course of the day and maybe pray for them. And maybe if there was a word said that shouldn't have been said or something done that should have been done, you could pray for forgiveness and ask God to give you a good night's sleep so you'd be ready for tomorrow. I was speaking with somebody at coffee hour and they said, "I was trying to do what you say, Charlie, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm just so exhausted. The only prayer I can get out is thank you, and then I'm asleep." So whatever works for you. It's an invitation, an encouragement to take these practices seriously, to put them in practice, to make good use of them. So today our focus is on the next practice in the book, the practice of study, which specifically is referring to studying the Bible, which is obviously important part of our tradition. Studying the Bible, studying the faith, studying, you know, our lives, learning about these things, but it's not just an intellectual pursuit. The subtitle of the chapter might be more important than the actual title of the chapter. The title is just study. The subtitle reads, "The Importance of Listening and Paying Attention." So taking all these things together, it's important to study, but it's really important to listen, to pay attention. As Christians, that's what we need to do with our lives, to listen for the voice of God, to pay attention to what God is doing in the world, around us, through us, sometimes in spite of us, to be alert and awake to receive what God has to offer us. The Bible is filled with invitations to listen. In the Gospels, we read about a mountaintop experience where God's voice spoke to a few disciples saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." The commandment to listen to Jesus. Jesus concluded a lengthy teaching on a lengthy section on teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock." And then there's a mystical scene, the prophet Isaiah in the temple. It concludes with the prophet Isaiah saying, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, Lord, send me.'" That's the inspiration for a well-loved song, "Here I Am." And then there's one wonderful narrative in the Bible about listening. So listen for God to speak to us through this text from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Thanks be to God for the persistence of God. So here's my confirmation Bible from ninth grade. 1979, long time ago, in Westminster Presbyterian Church of West Hartford, Connecticut. For several years, it sat on my shelf collecting dust. I didn't touch it for many years. And then, as I was graduating from high school, starting to explore the world, I started to explore the Christian faith, take it seriously. Had a lot of questions. So one day, I was on vacation, I took this Bible to the beach, and I thought, I want to hear God speak. Went to a remote, isolated place all by myself on the beach, had a blanket, had my Bible. It's like, okay, God, I'm ready. You're going to say something to me, right? So I sit down, and I'm like, this is a big book. Where do I start? A couple times I tried the, just finding verse like that. That didn't really work for me. I didn't know what book of the Bible would be a good one to read. So I sat there thinking maybe I should just sit and read and have one of those powerful experiences where I read for 2 or 3 or 4 hours nonstop. And I tried that for a few minutes and I wasn't feeling it. So I went home kind of frustrated and kind of disappointed and kind of feeling empty. Not long after that, at college, I learned the value of Bible study, of gathering together with other people. And having some resources, some tools, some curriculum, some things to help with that process, including other people on the journey. And I became very grateful over the years for group Bible study and for all the resources that we have to help us learn what God's Word is all about. Because there's parts of the Bible that are pretty complex and pretty challenging and even disturbing. We need to talk about those. We need to wrestle with those. We need to learn about the history and the context of those things. And that's what Bible study is for. Can learn from one another. And through it all, the hope is that we can hear God speaking to us. Right now at Covenant Presbyterian Church, we're in what we call the growing season, sort of getting back to our agricultural roots. You can see the imagery on the wall here, this idea of seeds being planted and starting to grow and then blooming and blossoming. Well, Jesus told a parable about seeds and growing and blooming and blossoming with an invitation for us to frame that parable and think about that parable in terms of God's word. So listen for this parable from chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. Jesus said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path. The birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked the seed. Other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, 60 to 1. In another case, 30 to 1. And Jesus said, everyone who has ears should pay attention. I've always loved this parable. And it kind of invites us to ask the question, what kind of soil am I? If we understand the seed to be God's word, God's message, God's voice, is the soil in our life, is it receptive to hear what God has to say? Bible study helps us be more receptive. Bible study helps us to hear God's word. And the thing is, as we probably all know, we live in a very noisy culture. There are so many things clamoring for our attention and distracting us and tempting us and pulling us away. It's hard to sit down and really listen for anything, much less listen for God. So we do the best we can here. We try to set aside times and places for people to study the Bible. And as we study the Bible, we need to remember that we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God who we know through the Bible and through Bible study. You know, we ask questions. We check sources. We wrestle with the texts. As somebody said in our inquirers class last week, you don't have to check your brains when you walk in the doors of Covenant Presbyterian Church, right? We read the Bible and use the brains that God gave us. This Bible is God's word for us. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. It's seeds being thrown around, hoping to find good soil to bloom and blossom and grow, to give us guidance for faithful living. I try to read something from the Bible every day, and not just sort of to check it off, but to really make a little bit of time, a little bit of space, and pray that those words would take a little deeper root in my life. Most days, that works out pretty well. So I want to share just briefly a couple of my favorite ways to study the Bible, a couple of resources that help make the soil a little bit more fertile for all of us. Study Bibles are great. I've got several of them in my office. We have several in the church library, about 20 steps outside the door of the sanctuary. You're free to go take a look at those. And maybe you're in a season in your life where you need a new Bible. If anybody wants to talk about that, I'd be happy to talk. I'm guessing Jeff would be happy to talk as well. A lot of great options out there. Jeff's nodding his head energetically, so. Great resources. There's also commentaries, books that have been written about specific books of the Bible and go into a little more detail about specific passages, give introductions, help us look at themes. You know, sometimes here we focus on a specific book of the Bible, a great time to pick out one of those commentaries and read a little bit more about the background. You know, we try to cram as much as we can into a 15-minute sermon. There's a lot in God's Word, so great opportunities. And thanks to technology, there's lots of online commentary-type resources available. Two of my favorites are The Bible Project and Enter the Bible. You can see the information on the screen. Great resources. Bible Project has these delightful videos that give a 5 to 10-minute introduction to every book in the Bible. And Enter the Bible does the same thing, not with videos, but more with written information and some imagery too, to give background, context, history, to help us understand the major themes in these books of the Bible. And there's apps that you can use on your phone. I'm a big fan of using our technology appropriately, and I've got both of these apps on my phone, YouVersion and Bible Gateway. With either one of them, you can get a notification at a time of your choosing to have a little pop-up on your phone with a verse of the day. And you can also read the Bible in pretty much any translation that you want to. You can even read it in another language for those of you who speak other languages besides English. Great opportunities to learn and grow. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into this world as the Word made flesh to speak to us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us and call us forward, to call us and claim us into a new life. And that's God's Word for us. So we need to do what we can to study, to listen, to pay attention to that Word, however and wherever we can. The Word comes to us through the Bible, for sure, But as Adam Hamilton rightly points out in his book, God speaks to us in other ways beyond the Bible, and we need to be attentive and listening to those other ways. He talks about nature and creation. I mean, what a glorious time of year we're in right now, looking at the blue skies and the stars and the moon, just imagining the beauty of God's creation. What about music and painting and art? Or books or movies or television shows? Some of you might have come to this, if you saw the sermon title, The Voice, you might have thought I was going to talk about that TV show, The Voice. Well, the truth is I've never seen the show. I watched a couple videos this week. But I bet God can speak through the wonderful songs that are sung on a show like that. I bet God can speak through all sorts of things if we're listening. God speaks through our conscience, as Jeff suggested in the children's message, guiding us, reminding us things that we've been taught over the ways. God speaks to us through other people in all sorts of ways. God's continually, I think, trying to speak to us if we just can listen. Richard Rohr famously says, "We are already in the presence of God. What is absent is awareness." So we study, we listen, we pay attention. We try to make the soil as good as we can. So you had a little homework from last week. I'm going to give you a little bit more for this week. Adam Hamilton offers some suggestions in the walk. I've enhanced those suggestions or altered those suggestions a little bit. My suggestions is to pick one of these things. Don't overwhelm yourself. Small steps. Do something and do it well. Read 5 verses a day. Pick 5 verses, you know. Pick maybe one of the Gospels, maybe a Psalm. If you're looking for a place to start, come talk to me. I don't suggest doing what I did on the beach all those years ago, just opening your Bible and going like that. Sometimes that might work, but not usually. Read 5 minutes a day. You know, make a commitment. Read through a gospel and block out 5 minutes a day or 10. Memorize some verses. And memorize, that kind of makes some of us cringe. I know some people had experiences where you were sort of, you know, encouraged in stronger ways to memorize verses. Maybe they're bad memories for you. My way of thinking about that is to take them to heart, to think of what the essence of the scripture message is and just remember it and treasure it. You know, the 23rd Psalm opens with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What if we just memorized or took to heart this idea of, "The Lord is my shepherd," you know, and just held that and let that stay with us? Or set a timer on your phone or your watch or whatever and spend 5 minutes just in silence. Maybe you could begin that silent time indoors, outdoors, comfortable chair, walking somewhere. Maybe you begin that silence by echoing the words of Samuel and just saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The good news of the gospel is we have a God who continues to speak to us, a God who loves us, a God who wants to teach us and guide us and show us the way. We just have to make a little space, tune out the excess noise, and make some room so those seeds can bloom and blossom and grow. Thanks be to God. Amen.